When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Mic Check. It's Mic Check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
Hello there, horny babies, and welcome to another episode of the critically praised podcast, Mic Check, the only podcast where two comedians go through the entire filmography of their hero, Funny Man, Mike Myers, just to check if it's still groovy, baby. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Cameron James.
Hey, Lex. How you going? Thanks for having me. And hey, cheeky monkeys, it's a pleasure to be nestled up in your ear holes this morning.
Who's a cheeky monkey?
You are.
No, you are. And that's why I'm your friend. That, of course, is an appropriation of the catchphrase of Tommy Maitland.
Tommy Maitland is a seasoned club comic from the UK, and we're going to be talking a little bit about him this episode,
we
I imagine.
We certainly are, because we are discussing the premiere of The Gong Show.
Now, we just pressed stop.
Well, it actually just stopped playing.
It stopped playing because, spoiler alert, we torrented this.
We are in a country where The Gong Show is illegal to get.
That's right. So, government, if you're listening, please work hard to lift the embargo.
Can we make net neutrality a freaking thing already so these two boys can watch The Gong Show legally?
I don't want to be a pirate, government, but you're forcing me into this.
I mean, it's not a good time to be a pirate right now.
No way. Johnny Depp?
He's in the pits right now. The new franchise film, Pirates of the Caribbean. Being Dead Men Tell No Tales. It's more like Dead Men Make No Box Office, if you ask me.
It's a bad time to be a pirate, unless, of course, you're watching The Gong Show, in which case, it's an interesting time to be a pirate.
It's a very interesting time. So we are talking about The Gong Show. Why are we talking about The Gong Show? I mean, it's apparently it's got nothing to do with Mike Myers.
No, apparently it's just hosted by this Tommy Maitland fella.
Who is a hero of the comedy scene in England, as far as we know.
A stalwart of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Some shit like that. He's hosted some other shows, including
Ate My Baby, I believe, is one of them.
Which is a show that apparently he hosted in Australia.
Yep, he has several autobiographies. One is called You've Got No Proof. Another one is called You've Still Got No Proof.
Which is pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
When I was typing in Tommy Maitland into Google to find out, maybe just get a little bio up of the guy.
Sure.
Because it has been purported that Mike Myers is playing.
That is the rumor. The rumor on the street that we have addressed on this podcast is that Tommy Maitland could be Mike Myers.
Yes. And when I hit Google, the first thing that comes up is just describe the page.
Okay, so the first thing that comes up is a photo of Mike Myers.
Yes.
Next to the name Mike Myers.
With his biography of
Mike Myers. So it looks like the internet is well and truly on our side here. They believe that Tommy and Mike are one and the same.
I think they're not wrong, because having watched the full episode of The Gong Show right now, there are a lot of Mike mannerisms in there.
There's a lot of Mike touches.
Yes. And Mike loves a touch.
He certainly does.
There's one question left on my mind. Did he touch too much?
That's the question we're going to try and answer on this episode as we recap the performance of Tommy Maitland or Mike Myers in The Gong Show.
And this is odd for us because when we started this podcast, this was about trying to find out where our hero was, why he wasn't on our screens anymore. And it was going to be an exploration of cinema. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of movies that he's in, like 20 or something. So we had to go through all these movies. And we're film critics. Yep. We may be comedians, but by night we're comedians, but by day we're probably film critics.
Yeah, I think that's probably
also
right.
Also unemployed.
In the afternoon, I do something completely different.
Yeah.
I'm a route for money.
Well, you got to text me #gong when you get them in there. But now Mike Myers might be back on our screens.
Uh huh.
That changes what this podcast is.
Now it's not a why is he absent from our screens? Where is he podcast? Now it's more a what has he become?
Yes.
What is Mike now? Why has he chosen to come back? Why has he chosen to come back as this character?
Mm.
And then on top of that, why has he chosen to come back for this specific
show?
This show. It's very odd. Now, we've sort of covered what The Gong Show is in the past.
Mm.
Do you think we need to...
I think we must.
Give a little bit of a recap.
We simply must.
As to what it is.
This summer, a legend returns and a legend arrives. Thursday, June 22nd, The Gong Show is back.
Who's this cheeky monkey?
Incredible acts.
I love that.
Celebrity judges.
I hate it. I gave it a one.
And one huge gong.
You put this together last night.
Legendary host Tommy Maitland makes his American debut.
We're just here for funsies.
The Gong Show.
So The Gong Show is a TV program that is a live-ish variety show hosted by Tommy Maitland, who is a stalwart of the Edinburgh comedy scene. And it is basically they get freaks to come in and do whatever the little shtick is, perform to a panel of three rotating celebrity judges. Who either give them a score out of 10 at the end, or if they suck so very hard, they get gonged off.
Now, it's a talent show, basically. It's kind of like the anti-American Idol.
Yeah, totally.
But the format predates American Idol.
It's like if American Idol, but everyone is William Hung.
Basically, yeah. It's just they've gotten all the freaks and... I said the format's old. It is an old format. It was created in the 70s by a guy called Chuck Barris, who later claims to be part of the CIA.
Yes.
So he's also probably... He's Tommy Maitland-esque, I would say, which is why it's sort of appropriate in a way that we have a comedian in character hosting this show.
I think Chuck Barris would be very proud of of Tommy Maitland.
I think
the concept of Tommy Maitland.
I think he'd be proud of the concept of it because it's something that's kind of performance arty or, you know, anti-comedy in a way. But the fact still remains, this is on a network, an American network channel.
And
so
it's the most earnest of the networks, ABC, I would say. They're the ones that do Modern Family and stuff like that, I believe.
So they are trying to have their cake and eat it too, and then spit the cake out into someone else's mouth. It's sort of like an anti-talent show, but at the same time, it is a talent show. You're still watching a format you've seen everywhere for the past 15 years.
To me, this is too clean.
Mm.
And I think what would bring this into the 21st century, this show and this format, is I think it's great that he's celebrating these freaks.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even freaks. I don't know why I'm calling them freaks. But, you know, alternative performers that have odd acts, such as dressing up as a monkey, playing a bagpipe while you're on a unicycle that's squirting fire. That is not your regular everyday act, but it is celebrated on this show. I like that kind of shit. I like that kind of shit.
That's true. You love that kind of stuff.
No, I like that kind of shit.
But you're right. It is still something that we've seen. Well, now because we're so used to seeing talent shows with all the Got Talent shows and Idol, X Factor, Voice, the format.
Tosh.0.
The format doesn't feel dangerous or edgy in any way, like this show allegedly used to be. Weirdly, it has. I was going to say this show should be on Comedy Central.
Totally.
Because then you could get away with going a bit dirtier, a bit bluer. But as I was about to say that, I Googled The Gong Show and realized that it did used to be on Comedy Central they revived it with David Tell in the late 2000s. Because it was originally an NBC show in the 70s, and then I guess Comedy Central would have bought it and made it made it their version of it, and then now it's on ABC. So it's really strange that it's jumped networks so many times.
Because I think that it could embrace that alternative thing that maybe an Adult Swim does now, and kind of like just go even more zany, like an Eric Andre type show.
Well, that's the thing, because we know Eric Andre so much now, and everything Tim and Eric have done, where they've parodied this format so much. Mm. Then now, even though this is still kind of making fun of the format, it still feels a bit naff, maybe.
Yeah, but I think as well, it's the premiere. How can they can't nail it straight away? I think they have to try and find the voice for a show like this that will always be ever evolving. Whatever the cast is for the episode,
it's just so hard to figure out what this show should be. Even for us as an audience, we're watching it and going, okay, we know it's. Well, we assume it's Mike Myers in character. So we want to see Mike be Mike.
Mm.
And we want to see the judges who are comedians and celebrities be funny and biting and cruel.
Yeah.
But also, we know it's on a major network and it has to be sort of nice.
Yeah.
So it's just a weird tone, I think.
Totally. I think it is it's an odd tone. And I think the Tommy Maitland thing is what makes it interesting.
Right, yeah.
Because we are searching this guy. I can't stop fucking looking at this guy.
I know.
Looking into his eyes, trying to peel away mentally the prosthetics with my hands.
Yeah, you want to get in there on set, peel the... How would you feel if you were allowed a moment with Tommy Maitland and you were just allowed to touch his face? With your fingers and look into his eyes and grab his
just
big
grab his
head.
Eyes and just put my fucking head right against his melon and just look and go, are you Mike Myers? Are you Mike, baby? And just be staring at him. I don't know, because that's what I kept on doing this whole episode. And there's like moments like, this is totally Mike Myers. There's never a moment where I don't think it's him.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, please just be yourself. Like there's one moment in this where he kind of broke character a little bit and he laughed at a joke he said. Can you remember what it was?
I can't. There were so many jokes in this.
It was such a long episode.
It was like a 45-minute episode.
But he made the other judges laugh, which are Will Arnett, Ken Jeong, and Zach Galifianakis.
As Tommy Maitland pronounces it, which was the first laugh I got from this episode.
Yeah, because that was also, maybe that was the first kind of character break of him, was it seemed like Tommy or Mike had not thought about how to pronounce that name until he was halfway through it. Like how his characters meant to do it. It was like Zach Galifianakis.
It made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, I think it was very, very funny. And let's describe his humor.
Tommy's humor?
Mm.
Okay. Now, you, at one point during the show, you turned to me and said, do you think Mike invented this character specifically so he could be a hack?
Mm.
And I think that is sort of what the character is. He's like a club hack.
Because the weird thing is, I thought that this would be... They'd invented this character because he had to be quick on his feet.
Right,
come up with zingers in the moment, because it's a live show.
Mm.
It's a live TV. The live TV is Mike's milieu, you know? That's what he said famously when he was referring to his crazy incident with Mr. Kanye West, Future Prez. But everything he said is very written.
Yeah, it's... Oh, God, yeah. It's
totally,
so scripted.
Totally scripted.
It's so scripted. As you pointed out in the credits, head writer was A.D. Miles for this, who is known for basically writing funny, charming one-liners and whatnot.
A.D. Miles, you may know him. He was I don't know if he is currently still the head writer of...
On Fallon.
Like maybe not because of this show. Or maybe not. Second gig.
I think he might have left a couple of years ago, actually. Yeah. But yeah, he's in Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, he's I love him. I love A.D. Miles.
He's worked with Galifianakis a lot.
Yeah.
They've collaborated a lot. Yeah, he's a great alternative comic. Did he still work on Conan, maybe?
I'm not sure, I think he used to work...
some pretty good
alternative comic creds.
No, he wasn't on The State, but he has collaborated with The State a lot.
With everyone from there.
Yeah, basically. And now he's writing for The Gong Show.
Yeah, so he left in March... AD Miles left the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon in March.
This year?
Yeah, so this must be his first project right after that.
Post-Fallon. He's gone from, as you put it, the Leni Riefenstahl of our generation to an enigma.
Yes, maybe he felt bad for enabling Trump.
Maybe he did.
Maybe that what he wrote this feathery shuffling of the hairs, and now he's trying to set it right by bringing back the career of Mike Myers.
What a goddamn...
Personally, he's done a good job by me.
Yeah, well, of course.
Maybe it's aimed just for me. He's heard me criticize the show.
I feel like you specifically are the person that his career is for. He has gone, all right, I need to make it up to this Alexi boy.
Yeah.
He's
Alexi boy is my nickname, by the way.
Alexi boy. Let's see what I can do to make Mike funny again. And it's... Oh, it was very strange.
It's odd because there is a moment as well, like I said, where he breaks character and he laughs at the other judges making fun of an act that got gonged off in some regard. And that was great because you just saw him living. And I think to get too comedy nerdy on this, Matt Besser once said that a great comedy character, improv character should be worn just like a hat, easy to take on and off. You know,
right.
And I think that's what this is kind of lacking, is that it is really just, it's a strong character piece. It's a strong character study. It's unbreaking. And I think that is an odd choice for something that's got to be so fast paced.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't take this character off like a hat because there is probably 4 kilos of prosthetics that go along with the hat.
Yeah.
And Mike has never been known as someone who can... He's not like an Andy Samberg or someone who's kind of like always half in character. Mm. Or even Bill Murray, someone who's like doing a character piece but also constantly winking to the audience like, you know, isn't it crazy I'm doing this character? Mike becomes his characters.
Yeah.
And the thing with Tommy is, and this is straight after watching the pilot, he's too much of a real person.
Yeah.
He's way more real than Austin or Dr. Evil. He feels even more grounded than Mike's characters when he's like Wayne Campbell or the dude from So I Married an Axe Murderer. Like
Charlie McKenzie.
Yeah, he feels...
How can you not remember Charlie McKenzie?
The iconic character. Yeah, he feels more real than them even.
Mm.
And they're essentially real characters.
It feels like I could walk up to him, grab him by his melon head and scream into his face. He seems so real.
Well,
I hope I don't do that.
I hope you don't.
What
I
if
really...
I have the compulsion to do that if I ever meet Tommy Maitland?
I'm so... okay. Should we... I mean, are we going to... We should really try to dig into what we think of this character now. Because the more I think about it, I do like the character.
I like him.
I like Tommy a lot. I think he is... I like the voice. I like the mannerisms.
Yes.
I like this kind of like cheeky monkey, playful, charming hack.
I like the concept all behind as well.
But why this?
It's because it's not bursting off the screen like his other characters that we love.
But it can't, because there's no... You can't linger on him for longer than 4 seconds. You know, he's basically just introing acts and then throwing to the judges. It's like... It's fun, and it was fun in the lead up to this when we were getting all the press and when he did the Kimmel appearance and everything. But at the end of the day, this is a host of a variety show who doesn't get much screen time. So I'm just thinking he's got to be in character and in makeup for like 3 or 4 hours at a time during these shoots for ultimately like 10 minutes of screen time, maybe. Not even.
Yeah.
Probably not even 10 minutes.
Yeah, probably about 10 minutes maybe through this 40-minute episode, 45 minutes,
hour-long with ads. Does it seem worth it?
I think it seems... it's hard to say if it's worth it because it is the first episode. We've got to give it some slack. I think we're being so hard because we are the only two guys that have built this up for ourselves in the world by podcasting about it for a year now, trying to just get him back. And now we've got him back, but it's in a way that we did not anticipate. We thought we were going to get Austin Powers 4 at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what we had gunning for us, was Austin Powers 4. And I don't think we should feel the disappointment that we are perhaps feeling right now, because we're being too fucking greedy.
But the thing
is, we got our boy back.
We got him back. Okay, you're right.
We got him back. It was us. We got him back on the screen.
I think the two of us are largely responsible for this.
I would say so. We've got thousands and thousands of fans.
Yeah.
That truly are horny dudes.
And dudettes.
And dudettes, of course. Yeah. I don't like the word dudettes. Can't we just say gender neutral horny babies?
Yeah, horny babies. Which, by the way, I was thinking about that.
Okay.
I'm thinking about horny baby as a catch-all term for our listeners, and I could not stop thinking about an actual horny baby.
Like from Ally McBeal?
like a dancing horny baby. And I just couldn't... This is...
And it was funny?
I was talking about it to Becky about the idea of a horny baby who's just like in the nappy, and they're like, I'm a little baby. Mm. And it's really disturbing.
I think it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny, I guess. I'm a little baby.
Okay.
Anyway, but only horny for other babies, please.
Oh, okay.
Have some respect.
Yeah.
But okay, so you're right. We can't be too greedy. We got what we wanted. We got Mike back. And sure, it's like anything in life. It doesn't turn out the way you wanted it to be.
I think it's because we are upset that he's hiding. We got him kind of back, but he's still hiding.
No, it's not that for me. I'm fine with the character. Mm. I just wish... You know what I could have dealt with is if he's going to do a full character piece that has lots of nuance and subtlety, and it's a fully realized character, which Tommy is, I want to see a show built around that character, not that character slotted into a show.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
The character is slotted into a show.
I mean, the fact that The Gong Show is a pre-existing property is already enough for me to go, well, why? You know, it's not a Mike Myers show. It's just someone's come to Mike and said, do you want to host this? Presumably Will Arnett. And he's said yes. So that feels strange that he didn't build something around himself and this new character.
Yeah.
I would like to see Tommy Maitland in a more like... Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's exactly where I was thinking. Yeah. Or just him doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him on Comics Unleashed.
What if he did... What if Tommy Maitland did a special and that was Mike's new project?
That would be cool.
Just an HBO hour special with some behind-the-scenes footage.
Or Netflix or something.
Yeah, Netflix. I mean, I was thinking HBO because...
He's old school.
He's old school, yeah. And it's great to get up on that.
Yeah, I wish he got one of those one-night stands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Comedy Central Presents, even.
Yeah.
A half hour.
It's a half hour. That way he doesn't have to write too much material.
Yeah, and you can maybe fill in another half hour with like a behind-the-scenes special of this guy crossing the pond...
Yes.
Come over.
That's what I'm interested in. Yeah. I think that's what Mike got interested in this character as well, was like going like, this is a character who's an old school guy who's coming to finally make it in America, because he's got this fabulous backstory, this character, how he was involved in like a Ponzi scheme and all that kind of stuff.
The backstory is so good.
It's thrilling, and all these weird other shows that he's hosted.
Yeah.
And it feels kind of... I'd love it if the show was around him. Like if the first 15 minutes of this show... was a history of Tommy Maitland showing all the old shows that he's worked on. Little recreated clips and stuff like that. Inserting him into iconic moments of showbiz history and stuff like that. Like maybe, we're at the Oscars. David Niven is on stage. He's presenting an award. And then a streaker comes in. The streaker guy comes in. And then Tommy Maitland tackles him and says, who's a cheeky monkey?
Yeah.
You are. And flips his little flips the guy's little dicky around or something like that. You know, something like
that's
that.
That's real
you know?
Specific.
When you think about iconic moments in celebrity history, the first one is the streaker at the Oscars comes to mind immediately.
That really did not come to mind for me at all.
Well, or maybe he's at the Hurricane Katrina benefit.
Yeah, sure.
Live from New York.
Sure.
It's the Hurricane Katrina benefit.
Okay.
And it's him Kanye West and Mike
okay,
Myers.
Okay, now that's crazy.
That's crazy. That. You know, something like that.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
You do love that kind of shit.
I love that
kind
of shit.
As do I. I love that kind of shit.
I think what we're saying is we want a almost like a Spinal Tap or a The Ruttles. Have you ever seen The Ruttles?
Yeah, I've seen The Ruttles.
Like something like that where it's like a fake history of this guy and you see all sorts of footage from different eras and all that. And it's kind of a story about watching this man try to make it in America after being a hit in the UK. That would be cool.
Yes. If the HBO, if instead of remaking The Gong Show, they remade How to Make It in America, the HBO show, but just use the title and made it about Tommy Maitland trying to make it in America.
Because how is it possible that the press and the backstory of this character is more interesting than what ends up on the screen?
Seeing him come to life.
Like, I think the performance is there. It's great. But the fact of the matter is that we don't get to see enough of him.
Like, he doesn't have much to do.
No. He just
Going like, this guy's weird. And here's a little bit about him.
And look, he's very charismatic and very charming. And he knows how
And he's fucking sexy, we'll say it.
Okay.
He's built like a brick shithouse face.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say it. I'm going to go on record and say maybe this is Mike's hottest character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably this and Linda Richmond.
Yeah, Linda Richmond's
maybe
hot as well.
Fat bastard. There's something about him. He's got that charisma like no other.
He's definitely got an animalistic, haunt, like sexiness about him. But Tommy's a silver fox. A silver auburn fox.
I think he actually is his hottest character.
Yeah, he's hot. I mean, he's weird looking, but it's hot.
Should we rank the Mike Myers characters now?
Hot or not?
Hot or not.
All right.
Okay.
So we're ranking Mike Myers characters in order of hotness. Let's go chronologically through his films. Okay. Wayne Campbell.
He's hot.
Hot.
Wayne Campbell is pretty hot.
Yeah, he's hot. He's got that little tush.
He's got that tushy. And God, do you think his butt looks still that good today?
Thank you, Penelope.
We'd love to see it.
Yeah, we'd love to see that
Tommy,
little tush.
Tommy, why don't you moon us one episode?
He's got that hair. He does the tummy rolls. He's confident in his body. That's
yeah, he's
hot.
Got a sexy attitude about him as well.
Yeah.
Definitely hot.
Yeah, okay. Charlie McKenzie and Stuart McKenzie.
Stuart McKenzie, not hot.
Not hot.
Definitely. He's an old man. He's cranky. Chuck him on the not list. Charlie McKenzie. This is a closer to a natural mic.
Yeah.
I'm saying hot.
Okay.
What about you?
Also, we see his tush in this.
Yes, and it's sexy.
It is a sexy. Okay, all right. Yeah, sure.
He's
Charlie
hot.
McKenzie's hot.
So far, 2 out of 3. Ain't bad.
Yeah, okay. Austin Powers and Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil, not.
Not. That's a not.
Definite
He's
not.
He's playing a grotesque character. There.
He's grotesque. Dr. Evil is grotesque.
Austin?
I don't know. He's definitely sexy.
He's sexy, but is he hot?
God, I think I'm going to say not.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
And that's, I guess, where the comedy comes from. He's, character. He's a guy who's sexy, but he's not hot.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, now next character. This one, I'm very curious about what you think
of.
Oh,
no.
All right. Steve Rubell from 54.
Steve Rubell. I reckon he's hot.
Oh, whoa.
I think there's something about Steve Rubell. It's the kind of the half-closed eyes and the drippy mouth. There's something about it in my mind is that there's, I think it's the accent as well. I like that Brooklyn accent.
I'm into the accent, but I'm going to have to throw him on the not pile for me. That's our first disagreement.
Hey, he's going to love it on either pile, so that's okay.
He's going to spit on that pile.
I think I know who's next.
I don't think you do. Okay. You don't, because this is a very brief one. This is Tim Broderick, the character he plays in The Thin Pink Line.
Oh, that's I was going to guess either that or the other one.
Yeah.
Thin Pink Line, it's just Mike Myers hanging out with his wife at his house.
I'm going to say not hot.
Not hot. That's not hot. That's at home Mike, that's fine.
That's fine.
And listen, that is the real Mike and there's no problem with him not being hot in that moment.
No.
That's fine.
That's fine. He's just comfortable and that's not hot to me.
Yeah, exactly. He's just hanging out with these fucking dogs.
Okay, now this one, I think you know
I know
what it
who
is.
It is now.
Pete.
Is this Pete from Pete's Meteor? Iconically the worst movie we've ever seen. Full stop, not just on this podcast. It's my least favorite movie of all time.
Uh-huh.
Mike Myers. It's an Irish drama where he plays a junkie.
That puddin' face.
I don't know. Can you talk this one through?
Okay, Pete, let's have a look at him. He's athletic. He can kick a soccer ball really far in that one shot that didn't have any relevance to the rest of the movie.
Well, didn't it show that it had some magic realism?
Yeah, but for that one shot.
Do we have to watch that movie again one day?
I think so.
Oh, God.
I know. Luckily, you paid for it.
Thank God we got it for free next time.
Thank God, yeah. Okay, not hot. Sorry. The accent didn't work for me.
Yeah, the accent's
not buying
real bad.
It as a junkie.
And he's all stressed in the movie and stuff like that. Then.
Stress is not hot.
Yeah, we can attest that stress is not hot.
No.
Yeah, Pete, you suck.
Sorry, Pete. Okay, fat bastard, you've already said you think is hot.
He's kind of hot. What do you think?
I mean...
But he's the same thing as Austin.
I think
Austin,
it's like
Austin.
He's sexy, but
he's
not,
not
hot.
He's not hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Each other, we had a realization of what we are doing.
And what are we doing?
Oh my god.
Okay, all right. Moving on. Donnie Schultz.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Toffer from Mystery Alaska. Not hot.
No, I was going to say hot.
Really?
Because I don't remember what he is.
He's that announcer. He's
but
the hockey
he look
caller.
Like? What does he look like?
I can't remember.
Let's get the research up on this one. I'm going to say he's kind of hot.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to say that... what's his name?
Donnie Schultzhofer
from Mystery Alaska, which is a cameo role. He's only in it for like 3 seconds, 3 minutes. He plays like a TV show host of a sports...
He's a commentator.
...type thing.
He's a sports commentator.
He's kind of got a little bit of makeup on, but he's got this kind of weird curly hair, very 1990s.
Mm.
There's something about him that I find a bit hot. Maybe it's an attitude thing.
Okay.
But it's not quite the Austin where it's sexy. I'm like,
no, he's not sexy.
Yeah, he's just something about him. He's got a magnetism to him.
Yeah, okay. But what you're seeing there, I think, is Mike. You're not seeing Donnie.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. You're seeing through the makeup to Mike.
You say I'm shooting through the makeup and into Mike.
Absolutely. Next character, Shrek.
Shrek is fucking ugly. He's opposite of hot. He's fucking ugly. He's a fuggo and he's fucked up and ugly. He's depressed. He's not even sexy.
What about when Shrek's a human?
Now that's hot. When Shrek is a human in Shrek 2, that's kind of hot. That jawline, that feathered hair. He can't. They said that he's modeled after Mike Myers. I don't see it.
I don't see it at all. He looks nothing like Mike Myers.
No, but he is. He's hot.
Why did they say that?
I don't know. I really don't know because I can't see what they're pointing at when they say it's a model after Mike Myers. Maybe the same shape of their head.
Yeah, maybe.
But most humans have the same shape of their head, so I don't know.
Okay, Goldmember.
What about you? You didn't say...
Shrek, not hot. Shrek as a human, not hot. I don't like conventionally attractive people. I'm into the more... I'm into more Quirk.
Okay. Yeah.
David Quirk.
Okay, Australian comedian David Quirk.
Yeah. Okay, gold member?
He's sexy. Gold member... Gold member. It's hard to say because he's got that flaky skin.
Yeah.
Which is not hot.
Mm. Do you know what I think we're going to agree on for this? Gold member? Sexy but not hot.
He's sexy once again, but not hot.
Yeah. Okay. The Cat in the Hat.
Fuck. Definitely the most disturbing to look at of all of them. So I guess that's not hot. And I don't think it's sexy either.
Okay. Now.
What do you reckon?
As you know.
Famously, you have.
Famously, I do have a feline friend that I have a crush on. Puth. In boots. And I gotta remain loyal to Puss. Sorry, Cat in Hat, you're not for me.
There's only one Puss for this kid.
Yeah. Have we got anyone else? Oh, we've got the guy from View from the Top, John Whitney.
Yes, who does have a crooked eye.
Yeah.
And I would say he's kind of asexual, so he's not sexy.
Yeah. Not sexy and not hot.
And not hot, sorry, I say it. Yeah. He's not hot.
We have, I think, two more, and I'm really curious what you think of this. Okay. Guru Maurice Pitcairn.
Oh, mama. From the Love Guru.
That's right.
I think he's hot. I think he's hot.
You know what? I think he's hot, but not sexy.
Yeah, I think he's not sexy, but he's hot. I can't believe the range on Mike Myers.
Yeah, I know.
He's played characters that are sexy, but not hot.
Hot, but not sexy.
Well, he's played characters that are both. Both that are hot and sexy, like Wayne Campbell and probably Charlie McKenzie. That are neither. And now we got one that is hot and not sexy. That's fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
I reckon I couldn't even do any of these.
Here's the final one. And this is going to blow your mind. Okay. General Ed Fennick.
Yeah. What do you think?
Hot.
Yeah. Good. I'd love him to take me on a moustache ride, that's for sure.
I'd let Churchill sit in the corner and watch him.
So who are the hot ones?
I'd let him put some junk in the trunk.
So we got Guru Maurice Pitka, Wayne, Charlie McKenzie. I'm putting Charlie towards the bottom of the list.
Sure. You also said Shrek as a human and...
Well, we didn't agree on him, so Shrek as a human is not in the running. I would say it's a competition between Guru Maurice Pitka, Tommy Maitland...
Wayne Campbell...
And General Ed Fennick from Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Who is the hottest?
Who's the hottest of all those characters?
I mean, Wayne Campbell's the easy one to think, but I'm not convinced
he's
the hottest.
Young.
Yes, and these are... Older boys have, you know, reached a maturity in life. And there's something about that that's quite enticing.
There is. Experience. Like, I'm thinking Tommy. When I look at Tommy, I think, I bet he shagged his way all over Britain. The Edinburgh Fringe Festival, more like the Edinburgh Flange Festival.
More like the Edinburgh Minge Festival.
That's way better. That's way better.
Because this guy is really tearing it up.
Yeah.
And he's very sexy as well because he's always flirting with Will Arnett.
Yeah.
There's something about that really makes me... Horny baby.
Oh, you answered the question that I dared not ask yet.
I'll tell
you. This show made you horny?
Not exactly, but this...
But that did.
That interaction made
that
me...
That gender fluidity.
Yes, I find that a lovely thing for Mike to embrace.
Yeah, of course.
Really wonderful thing for him to embrace is gender fluidity. And sexual fluidity.
A lot of people were going on about how hot Will Arnett is in this show. Is he?
I don't know. I think
people
so.
People think he is.
Is Will Arnett sexy? Will Arnett, don't you think he's sexy? Yeah, I guess he's sexy.
I guess people think he is. That woman had a whole song about how hot
one of the acts was an opera singer who sung about how hot Will Arnett was. And then she ripped open her top and instead of revealing some boobage, she had a picture of Will Arnett on her and then like three of them.
Yeah, and he... It was like the scene from Total Recoil, but instead of three glorious boobs,
breasts, It was three bickies of Will Arnett.
Yeah, and he signed them all and he gave her a 10. A 10 out of 10.
The Bo Derek.
Yeah, okay. All right, so are we set on the fact that Tommy might be Mike's hottest character?
I hate the face.
Well, that seems to be antithetical to this very exercise. So is that a no from you?
I think, in conclusion, after 7 minutes of ranking all of these characters from hottest to nottest, Tommy Maitland is not the hottest Mike Myers character.
What a payoff.
After all of that, I must say Wayne Campbell is probably the hottest character.
That's a safe choice. I'm going to go with Tommy. That's where we disagree.
Really? Okay, yeah. Wow, yeah. For me, Tommy, Guru Picker, and then I would say Ed Feddick, and then Wayne Campbell hottest.
As number one. Yeah. Okay, so Tommy's the least hot out of all the hot
ones. I would he's on level with the Guru Picker.
Okay, all right.
But Ed Fenwick, there's something about that guy.
Something about Ed Fenwick in there.
Yeah, because he just looks like a classic British character actor.
Yeah. Well, listen. Okay, so that's probably what Mike wanted. When he's trolling through the internet looking for reviews of the Gong Show, I'm sure he'll stumble upon this and go, well, at least one of these two guys from Australia thinks my new character's hot.
I think he's hot, but I hate the face. I like the body. I like his body.
Yeah, okay.
He's a real prawn, mate. Rip the head off, keep the body. That's what I say.
Oh, he's a bit of a buddy's face.
Yeah, butter face. That's what I'd say.
Well, look, that's interesting.
Sometimes I'm all about the bodice.
Yeah.
And he's sculpted for the gods.
Well, you know, you don't look at the mantle when you're stoking the fire.
You said that last week.
Certainly did.
And I looked up from where I knew the quote.
Where's it from?
I know it from an episode of Frasier. Where Bulldog has a moment, you know, Bulldog Briscoe, one of the great characters in 90s sitcoms. Mm-hmm. He has a moment of vulnerability where he says that he caught his dad having an affair with a prostitute. And then Frasier was very touched, but he's like, oh, Bulldog, okay? He's like, yeah, she was ugly. And then his dad told him that
you
line.
You know what? Maybe that's where I got it from. But anyway, okay, well, that's exciting to know that we think that this is maybe a sexy character. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Tommy Maitland is horny?
For sure.
Yeah.
One of the horniest characters on TV currently. Probably him and Donoso from NCIS are the two horniest characters on TV.
Wow.
Actually, Donoso's no longer on NCIS. He's on a new show called Bull. So.
Okay. Cool, dude.
I think he's very horny. What about you?
Oh, yeah. Very, very, very horny.
Very
flirtatious. He's dancing around a lot. That's where you see the most Mike-isms is when he's dancing around. It's this kind of playful movement. He's very comfortable with his body. You're right. He does flirt with Will Arnett quite a bit. The very nature of him calling the audience cheeky monkeys, as we've discussed before, very horny.
Absolutely.
Making them bad.
Exactly. Very Austin move.
Yeah.
Where you make them part of the joke and you delight them. It's the same as Obehave.
Yeah. It's like they're the ones who... It's like you're the one who's good and you're saying, oh, you're being a cheeky monkey or please behave around me. And then they feel delighted that they got to be bad for a second without actually having to be bad.
And they can still go to heaven.
Yeah. I mean, and let me ask you this question. Do you think Tommy Maitland will go to heaven?
Oh, I don't think so. This guy's going straight to hell. He's a cheeky monkey.
He'll be the life of the party.
He's going to rip it up.
He'll be down there at the barbecue with Hitler and
Saddam.
Walter Matthau, yeah.
Unfortunately, Walter Matthau did fall to hell. One of our favorite actors of all time, one of the most beloved and cherished actors in history of cinema, Walter Matthau is roasting it up in hell right now. Yeah. And it's all because he gave a kid a beer in Bad News Bears.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. I think that's what did it. But the 70s were a different time. And Tommy knows all about that. He's been around the block.
Yeah. A few times, one might say.
Well, okay. So I think he's horny too. And it leaves me to, I guess, ask myself the question, was I made horny during this episode?
Of the Gong Show, the premiere.
And let me say, I believe I was, but not by Tommy Maitland.
What were you turned on by? What possibly could you have been turned on by on this show other than Tommy Maitland?
Well, if I'm going to be honest with you, it was the Married with Bananas.
Are you serious?
Sketch. Okay, so let me give you a bit of context.
Give them the rundown of this horrible...
Okay, so one of the performances that came out to be gonged or to win, that's something I'll save for the end.
It is a competition.
It is a competition, by the way. Were a married couple called Married with Bananas. And the whole sketch was, it's basically two girls, one cup... But it's them chewing up banana and taking turns spitting it into each other's mouth while they do weird feats of gymnastic strength and spitting them from great distance.
And they were spitting into Will Arnett's mouth, Zach Galifianakis, Ken Jeong.
There was a lot of spitting of banana and mushed up banana into each other's mouths. And it was disgusting. Mm. You turned away a couple of times.
I hated it.
But I have to say, the intimacy of two people with their mouths close together... Willing to share in a mushed up, spitty banana.
They spat a whole banana mushed up into the other one's mouth.
Made me feel a little bit...
Are you serious?
I was like impressed by the intimacy in it. That intimacy at the end of the day...
Intimacy or into me, I see.
Into me, see.
Yeah.
It turned me on, I gotta say.
Oh boy, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely fuck no, I'll say. But did you like it when Tommy Maitland said... you have the gag reflex of a garbage disposal.
I didn't get that. Did you?
I got it because in America, garbage disposal is part of the sink.
Yeah.
You shovel your shit down there, gurgles it up, and it seems endless.
Yeah, okay. No, that made me a little bit horny, I think, in a weird way. Maybe it just awoke something in me that I didn't know I had.
There were a couple of horny lines that he had that I quite liked.
Okay.
There was, after the guy with the bagpipes, he said, something beautiful can come out if you just squeeze the bag just right.
Yeah, I did like that.
And that is in reference to testicles and semen, I would assume.
Yeah, famously... As you all know, the way to get semen out of your dick is to squeeze the scrotum.
To squeeze the ball bag.
Yeah, don't stay away from the shaft. That's my advice to you. Do not touch the shaft. No stroking. Just squeeze that
squeezing.
Bag. Eventually, something will come
it's
out.
It's not unlike spinning the dial on a vault
or on a safe. Yep.
You just need to find that correct code to unlock to unlock all the treasures from within. And if you keep tinkering with it, hey, you might hit the right spot.
I liked that line. I thought that was funny.
And this is my Marcus Touch. I think the best gag of it, of the whole show, and then what's delivered by Mike Myers, was when he was introducing a new act. He says, do you believe in synchronicity? Because this next act happens to have the same name as my testicles. Elaine and Kevin.
Yeah, that made me laugh a lot too.
And it killed in the room.
That was so funny. Because it was... That's a classic Mike joke where you set up expecting that it's going to be something very elaborate and then the joke, the punchline is something very mundane. And that is so funny.
And I think it was the dirtiest joke of the... Well, actually, there was quite a few dirty jokes, but I think that was one that was pushing into the area that I wanted where it's absurd as well as dirty.
That act was the couple who sang the song "Don't Gong an Asian."
Yes, they were an Asian couple. They said you can't gong an Asian, but little did they know that they'd actually thought this through and hired an Asian man to be one of the judges.
Yeah. Now I have a question to ask: do you think that the whole purpose of having them in the pilot and having Ken Jeong on the panel was to get around the fact that this is a time where cultural insensitivity is not?
Yes, it's a politically sensitive time, and I think, yes, perhaps
they kind of went, look, we know that having a show called The Gong Show produced by white people is a bit strange.
Yeah.
So we're going to acknowledge it with this Asian couple singing about how this is strange. And I loved it.
It was one of the funniest acts.
I loved the act. I loved Ken Jeong dancing around.
Watching him dance.
He's great.
He's a great dancer.
He's
up there with Tommy Maitland as the best dancer in comedy.
It goes Tommy Maitland, Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
And Ken Jeong.
Yes.
I think they're the big three.
The big three.
When you think of famous dancers.
Do we live in synchronicity? Because that list of people shares the same name as my testicles.
If I had to go for a fourth, I'd say Tom Cruise as Len Grossman in Tropic Thunder.
Mm, fifth, Tom Cruise as Risky in Risky Business.
Fuck you. Okay. Okay, I loved it. And I also loved that Ken Jeong gonged them as well, right? Yeah. At the very end of their bit. Very funny.
And there was an official gong.
It was
officially get gonged off.
He seemed like he was on their side, but then he turned on them and became the villain. Very Ken Jeong move. And he outed himself as a race traitor.
Which was very funny.
It was very funny. I liked it.
Yeah.
What did we think of the other judges, by the way?
Zach Galifianakis, mm-hmm. I'll go on the record, huge inspiration for me that you can have a weird name and still be a comedian. And Zach Galifianakis was one of my biggest guys as a teenager. I remember.
And he was a big boy back then.
He was a big boy and he had beautiful hair, not unlike me. Big boy, beautiful hair. And I remember discovering him very young on like MySpace or something. And then seeing him get the Hangover was a big deal for me because I'm like, oh, the stuff that I like is becoming mainstream now. This is awesome.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think the first thing I saw of his was the Vodka movie, the one with Tim and Eric, the Absolute Vodka commercial they made. And then I watched all the Between Two Ferns that were available then. And then I watched Purple Onion.
Yeah,
and
I love that Purple
There's
Onion.
A lot of bootleg clips of him on YouTube. I think I've seen every single one of them. Sets from Bonnaroo and
his VH1 talk show is so great.
I torrented that when I was quite young. Yeah. I was obsessed with him. And then same as you, when he got the Hangover and when he blew up, I felt like I was watching one of my friends become famous. It was really strange.
Totally.
And now I feel like I've lost a friend.
What?
But, I mean, he's still very funny, but he just doesn't... The fact that he's not putting as much stuff out there is a bit sad for me.
Well, I think he's just got other stuff. He's got family and stuff now.
Yeah, man, fuck family.
Okay.
Showbiz is the only family
Showbiz
you need.
Is what matters.
Yeah, ask Mike. You think? I mean, sure, he's got kids.
He's probably been raising his kids for the last few years.
Yeah, but now he's ready to get back into it.
Back into character.
He understands that showbiz is more important.
Yeah. I don't know. I love Zach Galifianakis. He's a real highlight for me on this.
Yeah, he was great.
I thought he was so funny, and he was what made me get the tone of the show.
Yeah.
Was what they're trying to do there, and I think I would love him to be on it every week.
Yeah, I would love that too. He would not do that.
No.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
Ken Jeong also very good on this.
Arnett as well. He was good, but not as... I like the other two more.
Yeah, I think Will Arnett is very good and very funny and everything, but as we were saying, there's something about him that didn't seem like he was 100% in it.
Oh, I'm just... This. Because he's the EP.
Yeah,
he's the
I think
executive
he's
producer
busy.
Of the show and he's working.
Yeah, he's
working,
can't
doing
be a
two
judge.
Jobs.
He's
yeah.
watching the whole thing going, is my show going to fail?
Yeah, is my show going good? And it went okay.
Yeah, it went fine.
It's a good premiere and because this was the premiere, this allows us to do a little bit more investigation to finding out if this is Mike.
I know. Yeah.
And what we did was we watched the credits very carefully. I paused it when every new credit card would come up.
We wanted
or
to
title
see-
card. They're not called credit cards. That is what you use to buy things online.
We wanted to know if Mike's name appeared anywhere in the credits at all. Would it be under a bizarre title like associate producer or contributing writer or
something like that?
Special thank you. And Alexi, what can you confirm?
I can confirm it does not appear anywhere at all. There's a guy called Mike Malone, which I paused to double check, but who was a camera assistant, so not even near that kind of thing.
No.
But it does say executive producer Tommy Maitland.
Yeah. Yeah. The character, Tommy Maitland, if he is a character, gets actual credits in this show. They've really committed.
And then also he got hosted by.
Yeah. Two credits.
Yeah. So it's like, they're really keeping that mystery alive.
Yeah. Will we ever know if this is Mike Myers? Will he ever come out and say it?
Yes. But Tim, I can say I'm an expert on the guy. I'm sure it's him.
Okay.
I don't know why we're not getting picked up for interviews, but like as expert witnesses trying to decipher this.
We've analysed photos.
We've watched every movie he's done, including Pete's Meteor and The Thin Pink Line. We know who Mike Myers is inside and out. We can say it's him.
I'm reserving judgment.
Well,
I'm going to wait another episode.
There's got to be one brave dude out there in the world making
the call.
Yeah,
that's you. You're
and
the
I'm
Snowden of the Mike Myers, Tommy Maitland.
I'm willing to move to Russia right now.
Yeah, you're Assange, man.
Thanks, man.
That's all right, man.
Assange is dating Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Pammy.
That's
dude.
Why I said it. That's so cool.
That's awesome.
You could get Pammy.
I'm freaking out right now. Well, what should we conclude... For the premiere of The Gong Show.
Yeah.
Are we checking it?
I think we have to check it.
Do we have to check it?
We have to check it.
Because we're usually checking things of the past. This is a present day thing that we're checking.
I know, this is the first time we've checked something that is currently
on air. I'm fucking freaked right now.
I'm going to check this episode and I'm going to say I was entertained, but it wasn't groovy. Or it was groovy, but it wasn't shagadelic.
It's not my happening, but it does freak me out.
Yeah, and I'm intrigued enough to keep watching.
Yes.
Which is good because we have to watch
it. We have to keep watching. But also, we will announce to you guys now, we are not becoming a Gong Show recap recap podcast. We will be doing continuing our thing of doing spin-offs and talking about the movies of Mike Myers. We still have a few more to go. Puss in Boots, the documentary he made called...
Supermensch.
And also, later on this year, we do have The Terminal coming out, or Terminal, which is the thriller that he
Plus
stars
we'll have
in
some more.
With Margot Robbie. And might I make a guess, this movie will be horny.
Okay, just because you're horny doesn't mean the movie will
be horny. Okay, might I make a bold prediction, that movie will be horniest movie of the year.
Well, I'm excited to see where that goes. I'm excited to do more episodes on his movies with some great guests, which we will have coming up. But you're right, we're not going to be recapping this every week. We're going to probably bank them a little bit. And
yeah, we will check in periodically with where The Gong Show is at, or maybe at the start of a spin-off, do 10 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, we haven't quite nutted it out yet, because to be honest, this has really... thrown us for a loop a little
bit. Because we are living in a brave new world.
Yeah, I'm still reeling from the fact that Mike may be on our screens right now.
I know. I'm so proud. I'm so proud to see it.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of the horny babies.
I'm proud of every single one of you horny babies out there, and thank you for showing us your continued support in this crazy journey called Mike Check. And that's what you have been listening to for the last few minutes.
Presumably, you only listen to the start and then you skip to the end.
Because you want to hear those fucking plugs, baby.
Yes, you got to plug it up.
So we have been talking about The Gong Show. It's available on torrents.com. If you want to catch up with it, if you're not in America, it's in America. It is on abc.com, maybe. Yeah.
And you can watch it on Hulu as well if you have a Hulu thing and a VPN blocker. Another thing the government are forcing us to use.
I cannot stand this government.
Fuck, I hate this government, dude.
We got to start a political...
I voted for the Greens.
I know you did, but I think we got to start our own political party.
Okay, what are we called?
I don't know.
How about we just start our own micronation?
Yeah.
The Mike Check Republic.
The Mike Check Republic. We're seceding from Australia.
Yeah, it's time.
We are. It is time, because we are international, baby. Yeah. We are not just Australian anymore.
No.
We are international men of mystery, is what we are saying. We are no longer Australians. We have seceded from the Australian nation. Officially, we are the Mike Check Republic
now. True. It's official. If you have anything you want to send to us, we're going to have to set up a weird postal system to get into the Mike Check Republic.
And if you want to be part of it, declare yourself... Hashtag Mike Check Republic, hashtag Gong on Twitter, and you can tweet at us at Mike Check Pod.
Yep, or at us individually at I Am Cameron James.
Or This Is Alexi.
Very
for me.
Talk to us on Facebook, please. Give us more Mike things to watch.
Yep.
Some people have sent us some episodes of TV shows that Mike has cameoed
in,
which I think I'm really looking forward to doing.
We're going to be going into those now, into the more micro Mike episodes.
And speaking of plugs, what do you have to plug?
On the 30th of June, this Friday night at 8 p.m. at the Gaelic Club. I'm hosting Green Lights Comedy Nights in Sydney, just behind Central Station. Cameron James is the headliner.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm so excited. Green Lights is the best, and I'm going to have a blast up there.
Yeah, it's only $10. Come hang out with both Cam and I. It's going to be an official Mike Czech Republic embassy on the night, so there will be no lockout laws in that in that pub.
And we're allowed to do double shots.
Oh, mama!
Let's get wasted.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I think I will get wasted that night.
Yeah, let's get wasted.
And also on the Saturday?
Saturday night, the following night, that's the 1st of July, Becky Lucas is doing her encore show at the Comedy Store. I'm opening for her. I'm going to hang out and watch the show as well. She's the best, and you'll have a blast coming to that. Tickets are available online. Buy them. Go see them. Another couple of things I'd like to plug. I'm doing Splendor in the Grass this year. That's in the middle of July. Please, fuck going to see music. Come see comedy at a music festival. Fuck it.
It's going to be really good.
And also, if you're living in Sydney, come to Bondi Feast.
Oh, yes.
That is a festival in Bondi for one night only. Becky Lucas and Cameron James will be doing a show together. We're going to do stand-up and probably fight on stage.
Some riffing.
And some riffing, maybe some dancing, some a cappella singing, and we might solve some of your life
problems.
You
might spit a few bananas into each other.
Maybe we will. That's July 18. You can buy tickets on the Bondi Feast website. I'd love you to come to that.
And if you like what you heard in this episode, give us 5 stars on iTunes. It really helps us out a lot. And if you want to have a little fun with it, might I suggest in your review giving us the name, title, and concept for what you'd like our next super specific actor-based spin-off podcast to be. So we just got one in from Liam45. The funniest boys, Alexi and Cam, make listening to Mike Myers' analysis actually enjoyable. Some ideas for spin-off podcasts, Emma Stoned. The podcast where two guys green out and watch Emma Stone movies to see if she still stones. I would love to do that. I'm a big stone head.
Yeah, I'm a big green boy, and I would love to actually green out for the first time in a long time.
It's been a while for me too, but I would love to do it.
And I know you famously love Emma Stone.
Famously, I'm crazy for Emma Stone. Yeah. She's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah,
I'd do that one.
Great. Love to do the House Bunny or something.
That would be fun. You know what I want to see? The new one with her, Battle of the Sexes, that's coming
out.
Oh,
that looks fantastic.
With Stephen Carell.
Steve Carell, who has had a renaissance as a sex symbol right now.
People think he's hot.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That they didn't figure it out years ago.
Yeah, I know. He's always been hot.
I've known since Foxcatcher.
Absolutely.
I want him to catch some of my foxes, if you know what I mean.
Oh no. Well, that sounds like a fun one. I'd love to fucking lose my mind on weed and
really spin out, dude.
Yeah.
By putting no spin in it.
Yeah, fuck no spin, no way.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll be back with you next week with a really cool spin-off episode.
Later, babies.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
And we're clear.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.